Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Of course, we always welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because, of course, we have with us a special guest tonight and a personal friend. His name is Dave Wegener, and we're going to be talking about what's happening to our society and the fact that we're moving into a time of crisis and, in my estimation, chaos. Now, Dave was had an executive commission with the position with, I believe it was Dow Corning, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, well, Owens Corning.
Owens Corning, right.
Part of the Corning group, you know, that developed the fiberglass product.
And, of course, he gave up a successful job. He felt God had called him to go out and tell people what was really happening in America. And so for 8 or 9 years, why he's been traveling and putting together videos, many of which we carry. And incidentally, they're wonderful, wonderful videos. And if you haven't seen David's videos, you'll certainly want to. And he just got back from a trip. And but anyway, of course, he tries to make people understand the spiritual nature of the battle that's unfolding before our very eyes. And, of course, God's hand of judgment coming on America. And before we do anything else, because the last time I had David on, I forgot to get his telephone number out, and I felt terrible. So, Dave, let's get your telephone number and how people can reach you right at the very beginning, and then we'll try to remember to do it at the end.
Okay, I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. Yeah, I have a resource list available. If they'll just call 1-800-959-1991. That's 1-800-959-1991. Leave your name, city, state, zip, very, very clearly so we can understand it. We'll get that off to you right away. But
all right, fine. Well, you know, these are really exciting times that we're living in. You know, and the tragedy is the American people see things on television and they think that they're seeing the truth. And yet, of course, the truth of the matter is that what you see is what you're supposed to see. Had you watched the war that in Iraq, in Europe, you would have gotten an entirely different slant on this. You would have seen the horror of war. You would have seen the bodies blown apart. If you'd watched this on Arab television, you would have seen it entirely different than we saw it here in America. This was an amazing, amazing victory. We lost less than 150 men, just a relatively few days, and why Baghdad had fallen. And, of course, this appears not to be a bad thing. We never talk about the Iraqi casualties. I mean, we don't have no idea how many Iraqi casualties there were, so as if that's totally unimportant. Every one of them is a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God, and believe me, there were tens of thousands of them. But you see, this is not the impression we want to leave with the American people. We want to leave them with the impression war is an easy thing, and this war was easy, Afghan was easy, maybe the next one will be easy, and the one after that, because there is an agenda that's being carried out today, and you only have to go to their website, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. That's the website put up by Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and Donald Rumsfeld, and they put this up back in 1997, and you can read their letters in 1998 and the report they put out in the year 2000, this little group of elitists who want to rule the world. They want an American empire, and then their statement of principle, they said they wanted a new international order that would suit our purposes and our profits. And then, of course, in the year in 2000, they talked about how we're going to have to create new biological weapons that will be specific for certain genotypes. And then biowarfare will not only be can be used for political purposes. In other words, what they're going to do is kill off certain races of people. That's on page 60 of their report, as I remember. It's all in my latest newsletter. If you haven't read it, you need to get a copy. But so much of what we saw in the attack, unfortunately, is not. So how was it that Donald Rumsfeld was right and all of the generals who spent their life planning American military actions were wrong? They all said you can't fight a battle this way. You've got to have overwhelming military force. You need half again or twice as many men as you have. And Donald Rumsfeld said, oh, no, I don't. And he proved wrong to be right, and all the generals were wrong. Why was that? Why? Because, of course, I don't believe what we saw was real. There were no real barriers put up. There were a few military actions there, but if you imagine, they didn't blow up the roads. They didn't mine the roads. They didn't blow up the airports. They didn't light off all the oil wells. They did not blow up the dams. They didn't blow up the bridges across the Euphrates. They didn't mine the Euphrates. They had 100 airplanes. None of them ever went into the air. Not one of them ever took to the air. They didn't use their surface-to-air missiles to bring down our helicopters. They didn't use their anti-tank missile weapons that they'd gotten from the Russians to take out our tanks. And then the Iraqi army was told to go home and not to fight. They were prepared to fight to the death for their country, and they were told not to fight. And their orders came from above. And then Saddam Hussein mysteriously disappears, and nobody knows where he is. Just like Osama bin Laden mysteriously disappeared, and we couldn't find him. Of course, we could have found him. Joel Skousen says that at least three occasions since the end of the Afghan war, he knows that people had come from Pakistan to tell the American government exactly where Osama bin Laden was, and each time the Defense Department really wasn't interested. So there is a great deal of difference between perception and reality. And what's your take on what I've been saying, Dave? Why don't you go on from there?
Well, I mean, it's right after 9/11, I know when we were on the radio, we talked about all the questions that were raised, and now we're through another major horrible incident around the world in Iraq, where many civilians were killed, and again, there's a lot of questions. You just ask a bunch of them that are very important that the American people should be asking. Yet I think they take what they see on TV as gospel truth, and they continue on about their business as usual, and yet there's a lot that doesn't smell good about this. It didn't smell good about 9/11. There's a lot of deception going on, as we knew there would be. The thing that I'm concerned about, Dr. Stan, is that deception is even going to get greater and greater in the days ahead. And the war, why the other evil Axis countries didn't get involved, why they sat back, why we didn't do anything about North Korea when they were making a sounding the war drums right before Iraq, and why we continued to focus on Iraq, and you know what that's all about.
Well, because it was the weapons of mass destruction. I mean, everybody knows they had weapons of mass destruction. The president told us they had weapons of mass destruction. Tony Blair told the English people they had weapons of mass destruction, and oh shucks, we just can't find them.
Can't
I wonder
find
why.
Weapons. Well, and then we can't find Saddam Hussein. He has some you know, according to reports, he has some ties, not with the Bushes. I know he has ties with them, but also he has ties with the CIA, which George Bush Sr. was part of. Osama bin Laden had the same ties. We can't find him. We can't find Saddam Hussein. Many of these things are scripted in these secret meetings, in these dark meetings where they put together their plans. And their day of reckoning's coming, Dr. Stan, because I think they probably have everything under control right now. But God said he's going to put a hook in the jaw of the leader of Russia. He's going to bring this this group of coalition members with Russia, one of them being Iran or Persia, it mentions in the Bible in Ezekiel 38, and they're going to come against Israel as well as this country that dwells a long distance away in the coastlands, and most of those people will be annihilated. Israel will not be, but most of the invading army as well as those that dwell in the coastlands.
But, of course, that is a matter of divine intervention. And for our listeners out there, is there ever a time to get out your Bible and read Ezekiel 38 and 39, it is today, because nothing makes sense. How come Donald Rumsfeld was smarter than all the generals in the United States Army?
Yeah,
How come he was? Or what did he know ahead of time that they did not know? And that, of course, this was all planned ahead of time, and there were agreements, secret agreements behind the scenes, and all we know is that Saddam Hussein had disappeared, none of their planes were in the air, and the Iraqi army was told not to dissolve, and that's what they did. And there's a wonderful article that just came out the last few days by interviews with an Iraqi major who was prepared to die for his country and then told, you're not to fight. And the orders came from the highest level. Saddam Hussein, did somebody bribe these people? Or was things not exactly as they appear to be? A wonderful book written 10 years ago called Unholy Wars, written by a fellow named Darwish, I've forgotten his last name, but talking about how Saddam Hussein, in 1959, 1960, early 1960s, was part of a group that was financed by the Central Intelligence Agency, and how the Ba'ath Party was backed by the CIA, and the Ba'ath Party in 1969 with 900 people took over all of Iraq. How could that be? Well, I mean, you might ask how the little project of the New American Century group of 25 people back in 1997 took over the Bush presidency, which they did, and they control it today. And that, of course, is Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and John Poland and, of course, Donald Rumsfeld. And go to their website, check the facts out, or if you'd like, you can get a free copy of my latest newsletter. That's the March newsletter. Specifically ask for that by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We tell you what they say, what their agenda was. Not what I say they said, but what they said, and you can check it out on their website. They're so blatant, but they figure the American people are so dumb, they'd never be able to see, you know, what was happening if you painted it right before their very eyes, even if you put it up on a website for them.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. I believe they're probably going to carry out very close to that plan you see on the website. However, I tend to believe, Dr. Stan, that there are some forces behind, much greater, Lucifer being the head of them, but much greater forces than the Bushes and the Rumsfelds and the Cheneys. I think there's some international bankers like the Rothschilds that are really pulling the strings around the world. They'd love to have these American men be the fall guys for their plans that are being written in these dark meetings, like I say. And I believe that that it's going to get darker. I think the deception is going to be greater. If you think you don't understand what's going on today, just wait a little period of time. And like you started the program off, I think we're living in probably the most dangerous period in American history, as many of these men have promised us there's going to be future terrorist attacks. They've told us that was going to happen in advance. I believe they're probably already written into the script where they're going to happen, when they're going to happen. As we know, those hijackers that morning of that horrible morning of September 11th, 2001, 15 of them were Saudi Arabians. What did we do about Saudi Arabia? You talk about deception. Yasser Arafat was surrounded by the Israeli army in Lebanon, and a U.S. naval ship picked him up and took him to Tunisia.
That was during the Reagan administration.
Yeah,
that was during the
Reagan administration. So they took him to Tunisia, brought him back at the right time. He's right where they want him right now. And we're going to see more chaos in the Middle East as these people continue to use chaos. They continue to bring fear, panic, and hysteria. And that's one thing I want to tell the listeners. If these kind of reports bring fear, panic, hysteria, you need to check your spiritual barometer of who your Lord is, because God said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. And you should have that confidence of knowing your Heavenly Father loves you enough that He gave His only begotten Son. If He loves you that much, He's going to take care of you. Those that love Him, He says, all things work together for good to those who have their faith and trust in Him. So again, they're definitely dangerous times, but they're also times that soon we may get to see our Lord and our King. That's my actual prize of the high calling. I run towards that every day, Dr. Stan, when I give out these reality reports. And I know a lot of pastors would say, well, David, you're talking about political things. We're talking about spiritual. Well, Jeremiah's message to the people in the book of Jeremiah is the Babylonians are going to come because you're serving these other gods. You're putting your trust in your military might. You're putting your trust in your government. You're putting your trust in your money. You're putting your trust in your religious activities and the things you do there. And yet you should have your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's the message I give every day, all day. I do show them that these lying vanities, that we can't put our trust in our government. We've got a Russian army right now that has a nuclear force that's unbelievable. We continue to add to their nuclear force through putting nuclear submarines. As late as December 31st, 2001, we put another nuclear sub. And that one nuclear sub, as I show in one of my latest tapes, can take out the continent of the United States in 1 hour.
That's the Gephardt that they put in end of 2001. And we keep funneling more and more and more money into Russia, always under one guise or another. But we've been doing that ever since 1917, 1918. You go back and you read Herbert Hoover's memoirs, and you can get them at your local library. And, of course, there was tremendous famine in Russia at the time. And people were starving to death. And the communists had a very, very small part of the country, and the great part of the nation was aligned against the communists. They didn't want a communist government, and many of them were loyal to the Tsar. Some of them wanted to set up a socialist state under Kerensky. But the United States came in to offer foreign aid. 3% went to the anti-communists, 97% of the foreign aid that we sent to Russia went to the communists. Now, what's wrong with that picture? If communism was the enemy, communism threatened capitalism, communism threatened America. And, of course, the reality is that, of course, it's all an illusion. Everything is an illusion. And they started back in those days.
I don't believe there's a whole lot of difference between communism and socialism and fascism and democracy that we're coming up with today, because I think they all lead to the same thing, tyranny over the people, over the masses of people, where the small people rule. And you do such a great job in your latest video of explaining about China, for example, nationalist China, how that's another force we've been feeding information to and monies and resources, so that they, with their 300 million man army, and as well as land resources, we've been giving them. We gave them the both ends of the Panama Canal and Cristobal and Balboa. And again, you tell how that country during Mao's time, how we didn't support. Well, go ahead and tell it. It's such a good story, because we didn't send the guns. We didn't send the bolts. It was amazing. I mean, to see that, and then to think that. That we're not part of this problem, there's something really wrong with this whole, like you say, or something wrong with this picture.
Well, you know, this last week, in fact, if you remind me, we'll send you a copy of the article that appeared in the Chicago Tribune in August of 1995. Now, you know, you have a copy of my syllabus, and you see a copy there that's about a third generation or fourth generation facts. Isn't very good, but I've managed to get hold of the archives from the Chicago Tribune for August of 1945. And that was the day that they signed the peace treaty on the Missouri and the harbor of Tokyo. And, of course, there it tells about the fact that the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 7 months. And, of course, they repeatedly had tried to surrender, and we wouldn't let them surrender. And, of course, had they surrendered, we would not have had to have the invasion of Iwo Jima and of Okinawa. We wouldn't have had to drop the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And the Japanese kept trying to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. And but it's a nice, clear copy, and if you'd like to get one, it really is very, very impressive when people see that and understand that the wars are never fought for the reasons that most people understand. There were those who wanted as much carnage and horror and blood and gore and suffering as possible, because that would drive the world into the New World Order, into the United Nations, into the world government that has always been the goal of the secret society since the beginning of mankind. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. And Dave and I are just talking about really the coming crisis, because I believe we have entered World War III. I don't think the average American has any grasp of it, but of course a man named Halevi, the head of the Ephraim Halevi, the head of the Israeli Mossad, made that statement just about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago tomorrow, it was on 60 Minutes too, and said September 11th was the beginning of World War III. James Woolsey has made similar statements, only he calls it World War IV. And of course, it did not end with Iraq going to war with other countries over there, perhaps with Korea. And eventually, of course, this is going to result in a response by Russia against America when they think that we're weakened, and I believe that we will be weakened by one of the coming biological attacks. That was what Manly P. Hall told Bill Snevelin when he appeared in an apparition back in the early 1980s. Is it true? Well, we'll wait and see, but I know that Dick Cheney says it's not a matter of if there'll be a biological attack, but when, and he's pretty smart. Remember, on the very night of the September 11th attack, he and his staff started on Cipro for the coming anthrax attack. Gee, how did they know? He must have an inside track.
Dr. Stan, I have a brief.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly we just lost our listeners up there in Washington for a couple of minutes, and then they'll be right back with us. Go ahead, David. I had to cut you off for a moment so you wouldn't be talking when we transferred to Washington for our American Christian network up there. Go ahead.
Okay. I just mentioned the situation with nationalist Chinese versus Mao and the communist Chinese and how we had betrayed them. But your latest video called Iraq, The Untold Story of Prelude to World War III, I think it's one of the best as far as history, where we're at today, and where we're possibly going in the near future. So I know you'd have that out now, and boy, I'd sure recommend the leaders, all your listeners, get that. And if they, I think most of them probably would have your book out, the one I'm trying to think of right now.
Brotherhood of Darkness?
Brotherhood of Darkness.
Right.
If they don't have that one is an excellent book for everybody in AM. They should have it in their library, and they should have this latest videotape you did, because it's a history lesson, like I say, as well as a lot of questions are asked, a lot of factual statements are made, a lot of proof statements, in that particular video you had a lot of documents, many of them you researched from the libraries years ago, and they show up in that video. So it's an excellent video, and all your letters are excellent. If your listeners aren't getting those letters, they should be getting them, because this last one it isn't really you talking again. It's quote after quote after quote by various people, and it just, as many people would say, you're just connecting the dots, and in that letter, you're putting it all together for them to better understand as they read their papers, as they listen to their daily news, as they talk to their friends, they can get a better picture of what is happening, because this is truly a time of great deception. It's a time when really it's hard. You need discernment, as well as you need to continue to communicate with each other, so you don't feel like you're the only one out there going crazy either. So you've got resources after resources there that are so available that anybody can get by just calling your 800 number. And I hope they take advantage of that, Dr. Stan, because I just really appreciate what you do for I don't even listen to your radio program that much, because I'm not on the internet, and I'm busy doing research of my own, but I do know that you have some of the best guests, some of the most expertise, the guests that probably have more expertise in their own areas, whether it be biological, chemical warfare, or education, or whatever. Every guest you have 5 hours a day is some of the best you can get. So,
well, I appreciate your words of encouragement. Let's go to Ari, who's calling us from Redwood City. Hi, Ari. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. One thing that's always puzzled me is, why did the world powers create the State of Israel in 1947. You know, it seems to me that the UN is and the secret societies behind the governments are anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Jewish. I mean, they participated in the Holocaust, facilitated that. And you'd think the last thing they'd want to do is fulfill biblical prophecy by creating a homeland for the Jews, which they know, you know, that they should know. The Bible says that that is prelude to the coming of Christ again. I've never understood that.
All right, well, I'm going to ask David to respond to that, and then I'm going to tell you what I think. And I think that's really such an important question, and I pondered that, and I think I know the answer. But David, how would you respond to that?
Well,
he says, look, why would the obviously this never could have been accomplished without the help of the people on the other side, Lord Balfour, who wrote the Balfour Declaration back in the First World War, was part of Cecil Rhodes secret society. He was part and parcel of this whole occult movement. So why has it seemed that the occultists have been going right along with this establishment of a homeland for the Jews?
Well, I want to, before I answer the question, I want to make a statement. First of all, Jesus said, if you say you love God who you haven't seen and hate anybody on this earth who you see, you've deceived yourself and the truth is not in you. And over the history of time, there's been a anti-Semitism rise up towards the Jewish people, not necessarily the Jewish state, but the people themselves. There's been a hatred towards Christians all the time through this, especially during the first century. And again, that's going to rise up in the future. But in the Bible, it says, "Woe unto those that say they are Jews and they're the synagogue of Satan." Satan knows Bible prophecy better than any pastor that's in a pulpit today. He knows what he has to do, and I believe the middle of what's going to happen is going to be in the city of Jerusalem, just as the Bible said. And I believe that we're going to see some pretty interesting things. We're going to see a man rise up. My belief is he will be of the house and lineage, or at least a phony house and lineage of David, because Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, and me you didn't receive. There's going to be one come in his own name, and him you're going to accept as your Messiah. I believe that's going to be the political leader. I believe that man's going to rule at the Supreme Court building there as well as out of the temple.
Why would they have gone along and allowed the rebuilding of the State of Israel? They could have done that with the Temple Square. They didn't need to create a homeland for the Jews. Why would they go along with that when they really are anti-Semitic?
Well, they aren't really anti-Semitic. They just hate everybody. I mean, they're literally have a hatred like Lucifer has. He hates anybody that's created in God's image and after his likeness. And the Jewish people that live in the nation of Israel are going to be the most deceived of all in the very near future when they accept this man as their Messiah. I mean, I pray for them. I pray for the nation of Israel. And I hope and pray they don't, it's a time that we've never seen or never see again. Jesus said, if you're in Jerusalem, get out of there as fast as you can when that man causes the abomination, causes desolation in that rebuilt temple. And I believe you ought to get out of there as fast as you can because all hell's going to break loose.
Well, let me tell you, Ari, what I came across, and you know, the devil knows Scripture. And he knows that God has a very special place for the Jews in the end times. So, you know, how is he going to thwart God's plan? Well, if he could get all of the Jews together and bring them in from all over the world, and it's exactly what they're doing. And of course, a lot of people say, boy, we got to help God bring all those people back. I don't think we have to help God bring the Jews back. I mean, I think they're going to come on their own, but I think they're being encouraged to come by the demonic forces because they want to get them all together and then slaughter them all, because if they could kill off the Jews, they can thwart God's plan. That's my impression of why they're going along with this. And you're absolutely right. The powers that be, on one hand, pretend that they are pro-Israel, just enough so that it feeds the fires of anti-Semitism, and the truth is they hate the Jews, too. They hate everybody, but the Jews especially.
The Jews especially, and right. Christians. I mean, New Age philosophies teach that mankind is evolving into a higher species of mankind in the New Age of Aquarius.
Right.
And in order to do that, the lower forms of humanity have to be wiped out, like the Christians and the Jews.
Right, and the Muslims, too. They don't like the Muslims.
Right.
I mean, they don't really like anybody, but
they don't like anybody that's created in God's image and after His likeness.
But they hate all three. They hate, you know, if you read the Global Biodiversity Assessment, they talk about the real scourge on the earth is Christians, Jews, and Muslims. And so, you know, I think right now they're going to try to get the Christians to kill off the Muslims and the Muslims to kill off the Christians, and, you know, and then everybody's going to pick on the Jews. But that's the only explanation that I can come up with. I don't know that it's the right explanation, but it's the one that that seems logical to me, that that the devil is going to try to thwart God's plan by, of course, getting all the Jews there and then, of course, destroying them or trying to destroy them. And I think there's going to be terrible suffering and there's going to be a lot of loss of life. But, you know, the devil will never destroy the nation of Israel again.
It seems like they almost wanted to destroy them from the very beginning, you know, because if you look at the UN partition plan, Israel's boundaries are totally indefensible.
Right.
Jerusalem is totally surrounded by Arab land. They have a little sliver of land, maybe 20 miles wide along the coast. And I think it was just a miracle of God that Israel has even survived.
I think you're absolutely right, and but they don't have anywhere as much land today as they had, then. In fact, this latest partition plan, the Oslo Accord, was a disaster, and we were forcing, you know, the Israeli leaders to go along with this. And there's some areas where, you know, I think that the West Bank extends about 8 miles from the Mediterranean, or even less. I mean, before at least they had supposedly a defensible boundary. They do not have a boundary at all that's defensible today. Hey, we're going to have to take a break.
Okay.
You want to hang on?
No, no, that's fine. That's all I wanted to ask.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this evening is David Wegner. And, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, we were just talking to Ari, one of our supporters up in Redwood City, and asking that question, why are these evil people so interested in getting the Jews back in the Holy Land? I don't know whether my explanation is the right one, but at least it's an explanation. That's the best one I can come up with. And I've asked myself exactly the same question that Ari has asked. So, David, you know, of course, I believe that, the temporary peace that we're seeing over there in Iraq is only a very temporary peace. Everything points to the fact that the Iraqi people are going to want to have a Muslim state. And certainly if it's a democratic society, one man, one vote, the Shia Muslims are between 55% and 65% of the population. And if it's a true democracy, they are going, of course, to establish a radical Islamic state over there. And we will have done away with a secular Saddam Hussein and, of course, replaced him with a Islamic Ayatollah Khomeini in Iraq, as well as the Ayatollahs that we have over in Iran. So I don't think we've really solved the problem, but of course what we've done is justify stationing American troops in the Middle East for many, many years, and that's really what it was all about. That's what their Rebuilding America's Defenses report from the project the New American Century called for, and now we're going to be able to do it. Everybody's saying, well, you know, we're going to have to do that if we're going to bring democracy to Iraq.
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. I mean, we could answer whys to a lot. I mean, I'd like to have whys to a lot of questions, but what we try to do is put out the facts in every situation. Well, I'd ask, why is the church tying in with George Bush? Because George Bush has confessed that he's honored to be a member of the Skull and Bones, the Brotherhood of Death. George Bush has said the Quran is the inspired word of God, which flies right in the face of the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, as far as we look at it.
Now, do you have a clip on that or just a clipping? Do you have a video clip of that?
No, I wish I did.
Okay.
I do not have a video clip on that. I do have the fact that George Bush, through executive order, has not stopped the killing of babies yet. And I think if I was a man that feared God, that's the very first thing I'd do, because God said I hate that. And I will deal with every nation that slaughters its unborn as well as the unborn around the world. So, again, there doesn't seem to be a fear of God in this man's life or even many of our religious leaders' lives today. But God said that in the Bible, He said in the latter days, they won't have a love of the truth, so they'll raise up teachers in these pulpits that'll tickle itching ears. He said Lucifer was able to transform himself and the angel of light and a preacher of righteousness. How much easier it'll be able to transform these men into angels of light and preachers of righteousness. So, Dr. Stan, I don't just get into the uncovering of the deception in the political realm and in all the different realms. I get into the spiritual realm because I'm really concerned. That's the area where God, Jesus said, don't worry about the one to destroy the body. Worry about the one to destroy the body and the soul. And there is so much deception going on. There's actually a move just like Germany where they're telling us as people we're not to be involved in politics. We're to honor those authorities that are over us and do whatever they tell us to do. The same thing the Nazis did.
Well, of course, for our listeners out there, if anybody wants to know what really happened to the church in Nazi Germany, you've got to get the book Hitler's Cross by Erwin Lutzer, senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. That's Hitler's Cross, so vitally important. And let me also mention David's wonderful, wonderful videos, the Day That Changed the World Forever. And then, of course, welcome to the new
World War II. Welcome to World War III / New World War.
Right.
What I did there, Dr. Stan, is I actually did a presentation called 911, Welcome to World War III / New World Order, because I could see right after they talked about war on 9/11 and 2001, and right after John Kretchen from Canada said, you know, the war will never be over, I could see very clearly they were getting ready to bring in this chaos until we called out for peace and security, this false peace and security. So they're going to keep the chaos going. We're going to get so tired of war. We're going to get so exhausted economically funding these wars and funding our troops on foreign soil that we won't have any more money. We just won't have a heart to stand up for liberty and freedom. I don't think we do much any today anyway, but we won't have a heart to stand up for liberties and freedoms. And we'll just say, hey, give us peace and security, whatever the cost. If you need to tag us all, if you need to mark us all, if you need to, you know, we'll do whatever it takes. But we just don't want any more war. And I think that's the phase we're in right now. We're going to see more and more wars. As Jesus said, the men at the time would raise up wars, you know, nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I mean, Jesus laid out their modus operandi in Matthew 24 of how these evil leaders would be working in the days in which we live in these dark societies, putting together these plans, whether it be the plans, like you mentioned, the Project for the New American Century, or whether it be other meetings that take place at the Order of the Round Table and ones that we don't always hear about.
Okay, well, let's go to Scott, who's calling from Tri-Cities up there in the state of Washington. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing just fine, and I just want to tell you, both you gentlemen, how much I appreciate you shining the light on truth and exposing these things, but I've got to ask your guest a question. I wrote down, I believe he said that President Bush said that the Quran is the inspired word of God. Did your guest say that?
Yeah, no, I didn't. George Bush did.
Now, do you have the? And then I asked him, I said, do you have that on the video, or do you have a clip of that?
That was on Chuck Missler's website. I took it off of there, and I took it off another, and I have to believe that Chuck would put credible information, but maybe, you know, I got it from.
I'd really got to see that. I mean, I'm...
Well, you know that he was in the mosques right after 9/11 reading out of the Quran. You know that he's been on the same platform praying with Muslims.
Right. I saw that, and I couldn't believe him saying the peaceful religion of Islam and all that.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll try to get hold of Chuck Missler and ask him where he got that statement, because
certainly,
it's one thing to go into the mosques and take off your shoes and pray with them and, say that we all worship the same God, but to say that the Quran is the holy word of God, I'd like to know where Chuck got that, and I'll see if I can track it down for you, Scott.
I'd really appreciate that, and a lot of the pastors I know, they are really supporting President Bush 100%, and I struggle with some of the little information that I've dug up, and when I watched the inauguration, when he was sworn in, the network I watched, the gentleman said that he was swearing in on the New York City York Rite Freemasonry Bible.
Masonic Bible.
Right, and I think that was the same one his dad did. I was trying to, connect the dots, trying to figure that out. But if I got to find out about him quoting that the Quran's inspired word of God.
Well, put those other things in the puzzle too, because if he swears on a Masonic Bible where they do everything in darkness, Well, they said that I've done nothing in secret. Yeah. You can check that out, too, and you can check out the fact that, you know, that he has not, that he did in Time Magazine, I think it was August 7th, he said that he was honored to be a member of the Skull and Bones. Find out what the Skull and Bones is all about,
right.
And do some research in there. You're going to find out those are pretty ugly, evil societies.
Right.
Okay, anything else you wanted to ask there?
Oh, no, sir, just that all this information, it just makes me want to tell more people about the Lord and that he's going to return and they need to turn or burn.
Okay, well, I think that, of course, if we can perhaps change some people's lives to understand that we're in a crisis situation, and sometimes the only time people begin looking for the Lord, you know, is when they suddenly realize that this idyllic utopian life that we live is endangered, and we might live it, lose it all tomorrow. But then, of course, even more frightening would be if you were to die tomorrow and you were to go stand before the gates of heaven, you know, and God would say, why should I let you in? You know, most people wouldn't even know what to answer. Okay,
right.
Thanks so much, Scott. Let's go to Terry calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Terry.
Hi there, Christian. Is this David from the Cutting Edge Ministries?
No, this is David Wagner from Hope for America Ministries.
Oh, okay.
We got David Bay I have on very often in my afternoon programs, but he's on the East Coast, and so if he were on this program, it would be, 11 o'clock at night, and he doesn't like to do one that late. So this is a different David, but they all have very, very similar messages.
Well, you know, I've been a member of, subscriber to David Bay's website, thecuttingedgeministries.com. For the last 2 or 3 years, and the question from Ari a minute ago, I don't know if everybody got a very concise answer on that, but, you know, I don't have a whole lot of questions to ask your guests anymore. I know a lot of people do, and you have such excellent programs. It's a lot of information for a lot of people, and like the last gentleman was kind of overloaded with the truth, because it can get real ugly sometimes, but staying up on things, you don't really need to ask the questions because they're answered by people like your guest and, by quoting the Bible and showing us the connection, the dots between what's going on right now and prophecy. It's just impossible to ignore what's going on. And back to that question of Ari, you know, why would they do this from Jerusalem? Well, the Bible says that our Lord will rule from Jerusalem. And so the false Christ has to have Jerusalem as his seat.
Right.
So they have made it that way, and it's so such a convoluted scene out there. But I tell you, if people will hook up and spend the $25 a year, for instance, at David Bay's website, thecuttingedgeministries.com, and pay attention, they won't be so surprised when things start really going haywire in this world. And we're really fortunate at this point that we aren't living in an Iraqi situation like they are right now, because we will.
I believe that terrible things are going to happen to America, and I believe God is going to bring a judgment on this country because, of course, we could have done so much and we failed.
Well, your program is so excellent in bringing this information to people. Sometimes it's hard for them to hook up at the time slots that you're on the air, but if they will hook up with some of these websites and put a little bit of study into this situation, there won't be any confusion in their mind at all.
Well, let me just comment for our listeners. If you have access to the Internet, you can pull down all of our programs and our interviews with David Bay, who's usually on at least every 2 weeks and sometimes more often than that. And so through the miracle of the Internet, all these programs are archived. But anyway, I appreciate your words of encouragement, and certainly we support David's ministry. We think he does a great job. That is David Bay's ministry, as well as David Wagner's ministry.
Does David Wagner have a website? No, I do not.
Let's get that telephone number out just one more day.
I agree with, the phone number where I have resources, I do all mine on multimedia. In fact, David carries some of mine, as well as Dr. Stan carries many of my videos and presentations, because they cover, multimedia, the people speaking, as well as all the clips and documents and everything else. But to get the resource list, you need to dial 1-800 1-800-959-1991. That's 1-800-959-1991, and just leave your name, city, state, and zip clearly, and I'll get the resource list off to you. So.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to say, Terry?
I just want to thank you again for all the work that you've been doing for so long, and thank your guest, and encourage people to do a little bit of study on their own. I mean, I plug into David Bay's website daily or at least a few times a week, and he has articles coming out at least a few per week. And so when I send those on to people and they can't quite believe that the Russian Navy has been moved out of the Black Sea into the Indian Ocean and are going to be practicing war games near our own naval forces, and that their naval forces have also, the Russian forces have moved off the coast of Korea. When you see those things happening, you know it's not just some lightweight situation.
And, of course, people can't believe that we really are in World War III and that terrible things are going to happen in America. But they are, and maybe it's going to take that to wake the American people up and get the Christians out of the pews and begin to see the world as
right.
It really is.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks so much, Terry.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye. Nice. Let's go to Troy, who's calling from Silverthorne in Colorado. Hi, Troy. How are you doing?
How you doing, Dr. Sam?
I'm doing fine.
How you doing, David?
I'm just fine, Troy. Thank you.
And Troy's one of our supporters back there, and appreciate his support. And he's actually put on an Institute of the Constitution, and hopefully he's going to put on more of them as time goes by.
Yep, that's the plan. Enjoying it while I'm doing it as well. But I think the last call, you didn't know where President Bush made that statement. It's real easy to get to. I don't know where Chuck Miltzer got it from, but you can get it right from the source from the White House.
Where can we get that?
Can you
give us the site?
Yeah, you just go to www.whitehouse.gov. You go to their news releases. Go to November 7th, 2002. And then you can have it on audio or you just print it out. It's really detailed. And I can just briefly just tell you exactly where you said it.
November 7th, 2002. And yes. Let's get that website again one more time.
Yeah, that's just Whitehouse.
Whitehouse.gov.
.gov. And you can go to news releases. You know, it's a big page. You just go to news releases. And what you're looking for is you go into November, and then you can scroll down in November, go to November 7th. And he did a dinner talking about their special time and fasting. And then he said, according to Muslim teachings, this season commemorates the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. Today, this word inspires faithful Muslims to lead lives of honesty and integrity and compassion. And when I found this, I just started giving it out to all my Christian friends, and they just kind of looked and went, oh, so what? But I felt sad for that. But
no, any Christian that's spirit-filled, that has the Holy Spirit in him, should pick that up instantly, knowing that there's only one word, and it's the Holy Scripture given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So,
and there was another one where he did, I can't, off top, maybe you have to study it, but there's another one where he came across, and then I did the study of the work when he was in Japan, when I got the pictures where, you know, he bowed to another altar. I mean, it's as obvious as anything, and I just try to be nice to my Christian brothers and sisters and just try to reveal what's going on, and very few are actually want to know, and some are really disgusted, but some are just like, well, don't tell me, I got to preach the gospel today.
Yeah, and it scares them. They're afraid, and I might remind those that are afraid out there, the first reason you're going to Lake of Fire, Revelation 21:8, is cowards or fearful. Second reason is unbelief. So again, if they're afraid, they probably don't have trust in their Heavenly Father. They might think they have trust. Many of them are going to think they're rich, increased, in need of nothing in the latter days, yet they're going to be wretched, blind, naked, and poor. And if that's the case, if things bring fear to you, then you need to find out who you put your trust in, whether you put your trust in your governmental leaders or you put your trust in your money or whatever, because these things are all going to collapse. And we were always to have our trust, to have no other gods before him, and have our trust completely and totally in Jesus Christ and in our Heavenly Father. And that's another thing that George Bush does, and this isn't a beat up on George Bush night. It's just don't put your trust in George Bush. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. And what the word says, but one thing he does very seldom invokes the name of Jesus Christ. It's always God.
Okay.
As in the quote you just mentioned.
Troy, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I just wanted to bring that attention where the website was. That way people
thank
can
you.
I really appreciate you getting that for us. Dave, would you check that website? And then,
oh, yeah, I'm going to get that.
And then I want you to give me a copy of it. Anyway, God bless you. Good night, Troy.
Sure. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Rose calling from New York. Rose, I haven't heard from you, at least on the radio for, many months. How are you?
Yes. Fine, thank you, and I hope you are all doing well.
We're doing amazingly well. We've got so much to be thankful for, you know. Could you imagine a more exciting time in the history of the world to live than right now?
Not at all. I first want to make mention about your audios, your archives.
Right.
Many times there's no names or information about what is on that program for maybe 10, 15 days back. And so when I send someone there, it's hard for them to find what they're looking for.
All right.
They're kind
I
of
make
behind
a
in that.
All right, fine. So no titles on the archive?
Right. Just a date.
All right. Do they eventually get up there, or what happens?
Eventually, yes. But they are quite, you know, behind.
All right, fine. I will see if there's anything I can do about that. Okay, anything
right.
else?
Now, I hope I'm still on the right subject here. But there was a question about why Jerusalem? And I know years ago, because I've spoken to people, you know, your age, Dr. Stan, and older, and they tell me this was taught in the church at that time, but I had not heard it in the church, and that they were taught that Jerusalem was actually where the Garden of Eden was. And things are like coming full circle. The battle began there, and it's coming back. And as I did my own search on this, I come to the same conclusions. All the rivers are there that were named in the Garden of Eden, you find in Israel. And where does God bring the Israelites? But to Jerusalem, he says, that's where you meet with me. Where did the Lord return? There's many scriptures through the Bible that indicate that Jerusalem was the Garden of Eden, where God met with Adam and Eve.
No,
and the battle began there.
I've never heard that before, but I'll be very interested in that.
Yes, lots of scriptures. Now, one of the scriptures that I wanted to mention to you, David, and ask about is that in the borders, God says what the borders are. And in the north, I think it's around Syria or just past Syria, is the Euphrates. And I was taught, I don't know if you were taught that also, that many of the pictures in the Old Testament are, you know, they're pictures for the future, for our day. And there's scripture where David goes to reclaim his kingdom, his borders, at the Euphrates in the north. Not in Babylon, but north near Syria. And I was wondering if you heard anything about, you know, that could be the area of the Euphrates where it's dried up or there's a battle or something like that.
Well, Rose, they do already have for the Euphrates River in Turkey. They built a huge dam. So when the 300 or 200 million man army comes marching from the east to the Valley of Megiddo, they will be able to dam the Euphrates up so that that army will be able to march right across the river.
Right. Well, this is right near Syria, and I was wondering if it had, you know, with the current news, if, you know, there was any connection.
You know, I'm not sure, Rose. You know, I'll look into that, but I think we just need to keep our eyes. You know, there's so much that we can learn from history, and Dr. Stan's an expert at that. But our main focus has got to be on Jesus. I mean, he's everything. He's
right.
The beginning. He's the end. He's the fulfillment. He's the I am. He's everything we could ever ask or think. And our focus has got to be on him, and sometimes I myself have to wash myself in the water of the word, but I get so caught up in facts and figures, and sometimes those facts and figures can get you sidetracked, and we forget who we focus on, and really what it isn't the knowledge, because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, that we love God and we love each other.
Right.
Rose,
right.
Are you feeling any better these days?
I'm trying.
Okay, fine. Yourself.
Life is very active, right? One way or the other.
All right. God bless you. Good night.
God bless you. Good night.
And yeah, let's go to Scott. Is this Scott from Spokane or is this Scott from Tri-Cities?
Scott from Spokane.
Okay. Good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, I also saw President Bush. It was probably a year ago when he said something to the effect that would offend Allah, which obviously is the God of the Muslims.
Right. What is this?
Which was amazing that he would say that, and then what you and Dave have also been speaking about is it just shows that he wears many different hats and must not trust in the true and living God through Jesus Christ.
Well, there's a lot of people that fear man more than they fear God, and I see them today. They're willing to say whatever man wants to hear, especially in the political realm, not what God's, you know, what God would. They should fear Him more than anything else. And so, I think a lot of these statements are written for them. A lot of them don't come from their own heart, and they just do whatever their writers. They read whatever their writers tell them to. But again, I would encourage every Christian to quit following any man. I don't care whether he's the greatest evangelist in the world or whether he's the greatest politician in the world. I try to encourage people to follow the man, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Trust in Him and what He's already done, and not individuals.
Amen to that. Scott, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I was just curious when Dave was quoting, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul."
That was a quote from Jesus, and it's in one of the Gospels. And I can't really, I don't know exactly where it is, but it's in one of the Gospels, yeah.
And you're saying the fear that we
God. He says, don't worry about the one, because we're all going to die. Don't worry about the one that can destroy the body. Worry about the one who can destroy the body and the soul. So,
which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, that's a quote from Him.
Okay, thanks
so
much.
Great.
Good night.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, Dave, we're just about out of time. And for our listeners out there, Dave's got great, great videos. If you have not yet seen the amazing clips, it's actually three videos, and of course, it's about 4 hours of watching, and not a lot of comments, just video clips, and they are devastating. And then is the great deception, and of course, the most recent ones, that's the day that changed the world forever, and welcome to World War III-New World Order. So they're all available. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Then there's all sorts of other videos there. If you go to our website at radioliberty.com, and we have a whole section on David Wegner videos, because The Shocker is certainly one of my favorites, but certainly I would think that you'd want to get one of the more updated ones, I think The Amazing Clips is...
I don't know, Dr. Stan, some of those people, that Shocker still is very popular. So and then the ones that want to learn about the religions of the world, there's a One World Religion Apostate Church out
right,
there.
Right, and of course America Behind Barbed Wire, I think that's...
That's probably the most one that they probably bought more of those than anything else ever. But The Shocker has been popular. The Great Deception's updated. It's probably a second of The Shocker. It's the same type of video. I cover about 12 subjects on The Shocker, and I cover about 15 subjects on The Great Deception. So
they're all available. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and give, pardon me, and write to David, or give David a call at 1-800-959-1991. That's 1-800-959-1991. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
You know, it's sort of every time I'm on your program, I really am thankful that I can be on and represent my Lord Jesus Christ on your program, and I'm just thankful for what you and the people there at Radio Liberty do to get the truth out, because truth and reality are the same as far as I'm concerned. And I would just ask the people to keep their eyes focused on Jesus Christ, ask Him what He would have them do at this late hour, because faith without works is worthless. It's to just know about Jesus and do nothing is worthless, as James said it. But we each have a calling. We're to make that election calling sure, and I know one of the fruit of the Spirit must be along with truth, righteousness, and goodness, Ephesians 5:9. We must walk in truth, righteousness, and goodness, especially in these deceptive times. Ask God to give you discernment. Ask God to help you during these very evil, wicked days.
We've got Len Horwitz on the line with some breaking news. Hi, is this Len?
Hi there, Stan.
Hi, Len.
Hi, brother. How's it going?
Fine. We're just about out of time. What's the breaking news?
Okay. Well, I've got to get a quote from you. The American Herbal Products Association and a coalition with all the other natural foods herbal companies have told everyone involved in the industry to cease and desist the development of any type of natural SARS therapy, preventative, cure, anything having to do with SARS. Basically, they're telling everybody in the industry, hands off, leave it all for the drug makers. What do you think of that?
I think that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Basically, the thing that we have to do for all disease, including SARS, is increase our immune response. Would you agree?
Yes. All right, brother. I got you quoted. It's going to go on the press release tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Well, I don't usually get any information from an internationally known authority, but thanks so much for calling, Len.
God bless you. Love you.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, good night, Dave. It's been a real pleasure to have you with us.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you.
And you too. Bye-bye. And this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there across America listening to us, we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family and help us as we reach out across America trying to bring people the truth about what's going on and an understanding of the spiritual forces that are involved in this battle. So if you believe in what we're doing and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We hope that many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, why, our number is 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Feel free to copy anything there and get it out. And then pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for revival in America. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow evening at the same time, we'll be with you once again. Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you. Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from the Sacramento area, one of the darkest areas in the whole world, our good friend Randy Thomason from Campaign for California Families. Randy, how are things up there? Are you bringing a little light into the darkness?
Well, Dr. Stan, that's what we're called to do, aren't we?
Right, that's what we all try to do, and as you do such a great job up there as a witness for Jesus Christ among the politicians.
Well, some of them don't think so, but thank you so much. When we stand up for the right values, we do expect persecution, but that's part of this life we're passing through. Dr. Stan, I want to talk about just a few things with you here. There was a horrible, horrible bill that passed the state assembly yesterday. Now, it's not too surprising to hear that a horrible bill passed the Democrat-controlled assembly. But what is new about this is that the media is reporting on it, and there's a real fight about it instead of our side not talking too much about it and it passing through sort of unchallenged. This bill that passed the assembly is a transsexual penalties bill, which would fine the Boy Scouts and Bible bookstores and religious business owners and religious property owners up to $150,000 in a penalty if they did not hire or rent to a cross-dresser, a drag queen, a transsexual, you name it. It's a transsexual agenda trampling religious freedom. And that bill passed the state assembly by basically a one-vote margin. And that happened on Monday. And to draw out some good news on this, if there could be any good news, Dr. Stanton, right? Here's the good news. This bill has been introduced three times in the last 3 years. The first two times it was introduced, it also passed the state assembly, but there were zero Republicans who spoke against it the first two attempts. The Republicans didn't understand it. There wasn't a passion to intercept this bill. It slipped through. It was actually killed in the state Senate in the year 2000 and 2001 by a very nervous Governor Gray Davis, who really didn't want to see it on his desk and sent down some signals to that effect. What happened yesterday was better, much better. There were seven gallant Republicans who stood up and opposed the bill publicly, and it was a vigorous debate, and it was reported in large newspapers such as the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Sacramento Bee. It was on WorldNet Daily. I have done several radio interviews today on this, including on large shows such as the Roger Hedgecock Show, which is the largest radio show anywhere in California. And the word is getting out that there is an absolutely loopy legislature that is attacking innocent people of faith, and the people don't like it. Michael Savage, who you might have heard of, Dr. Stan, was all over this issue today, and I just appreciate your faithfulness to cover this as well.
Well, thank you so much, Randy, and I think that all we can do is draw it to people's attention and point out that, you know, certainly I don't think you should discriminate against transsexuals, but, you know, I don't think you should be forced to hire them, especially if you're a Bible bookstore, if you're a church, if you are the Boy Scouts. I think that people should have the right to do what they want to do, just as people have a right to be transsexual. People should have a right to employ them or not to employ them. But draconian measures is not going to endear them to anyone.
Well, and we need to take this as a lesson. What do these terms mean? You know, I'm very, very suspicious when Democrat politicians at the state capitol use the words civil rights, discrimination, and tolerance. You see, civil rights, of course, was originally meant the right to life and the right to property. That's sort of what America was founded on, that we would not be under King George III's thumb, and that we would have the law be over the king, and the right to property was a big part of that. And then, when we got into the civil rights movement in this country in the 60s, then civil rights became designated by immutable characteristics, things that cannot be changed, such as race, such as sex, and then, to a lesser degree in the civil rights lexicon, age. None of these things are changeable. But now, civil rights is meant to apply to obviously changeable things, behaviors that people choose, like a sex change. That is the destroying the definition of civil rights. Then we look at the definition of discrimination. There's fair and unfair discrimination. We choose all the time different restaurants. We discriminate among restaurants to eat. We discriminate among clothes to wear. We even discriminate among friends that we will have or share with. Unfair discrimination is in a limited category, having again to deal with what are traditional civil rights. But when those who claim to be against discrimination say they are, I have a real trouble with politicians who then say, but it's okay to discriminate against parental rights, religious freedom, property rights, and the Boy Scouts. It's very hypocritical. And then on the subject of tolerance, they say they want to be tolerant, but then they say, well, let's be intolerant of anyone of a religious persuasion. In fact, we will punish you if you don't agree with us. Well, that's not tolerance, that's intolerance. And Dr. Stan, I know you probably think of this, and it's something that we need to say. Sometimes the people who claim to be the most tolerant are the most intolerant. They will shout at you if you don't agree with them. They will call you names if you don't agree with them. Truthfully, we have to come back to what tolerance really is. It means agree to disagree. You must have disagreement in order to be tolerant.
All right, fine. Well, tell me, what would you like our listeners to do if they agree with you?
Well, one, I'd like to say you're coming from the Monterey Bay area, Santa Cruz area. I want to report that both of your state assembly members, Simone Salinas, Democrat of Salinas, and John Laird, Democrat of Santa Cruz, both voted in favor of this very intolerant bill punishing the Boy Scouts Bible bookstores. They need to be shamed for their vote. They should be called. I would urge the listeners to call them, John Laird at 916-319-2027, Simone Salinas, same phone number but the last digit, 916-319-2028. Tell them to shame on you for supporting that transsexual bill, AB 196, that hurts the Boy Scouts and religious bookstores and religious property owners, etc. There's more information at our website, savecalifornia.com. But really, the person that you need to call, if you just make one phone call, is Governor Gray Davis. He is subject to a recall effort to oust him from office. The signature gathering is on its way. It's being done now. And he needs your phone calls, because I think your call will make an extra effort, or will make a difference, rather, in this whole battle. Let's have a repeat where the bill is killed in the Senate. Here is his number, 916-445-2841, 916-445-2841. Please call Governor Gray Davis and urge him to oppose AB 196. This bill harms the Boy Scouts and harms religious freedom, and you ought to just say it just like that.
All right, fine. And so if you agree with Randy, that's what you should do. And if you disagree with Randy, why, yeah, you may want to call him and congratulate him. Anything else you want to say, Randy?
Well, I want to make a very important announcement. Our organization, Campaign for California Families, starting tomorrow, will be announcing to the world that we're officially supporting the recall effort against Governor Gray Davis. Governor Gray Davis has been so dangerous and has harmed religious freedom, parental rights, the life of the unborn, the institution of marriage, even the wallets and the education system here in California. We will be having the petition available for you to sign, and we hope that you do, to get this on the ballot, to remove Gray Davis from office. It's a serious effort. More and more people are getting involved. The website where the petition is going to be available tomorrow, probably late morning, Wednesday morning, is SaveCalifornia.com, SaveCalifornia.com. We'd like to ask you to visit and become part of this effort for pro-family people around the state, because we must support the family.
Now, there was a report on the Drudgery report today. I was told the Judge report said California is bankrupt. You know, they're not getting the money in. With the money that's come in from the state income tax, they're in real trouble. What's your take on that?
Well, it's true, and it's ironic that when those who should be leading and cutting the spending, cutting back programs, cutting the waste, cutting the fat, balancing the budget, instead of threatening us with taxes in all categories of life, instead of being appropriate leaders, they're passing transsexual bills that penalize people who disagree. There's a lot of fiddling while Rome burns up here. And it seems like the word is getting out, with the polls not only showing that people dislike Governor Gray Davis, but have very little trust for the state legislature to solve problems in the state. I think it adds to the dissatisfaction that people have, and it's one more reason why I'm not moving out of California. I believe dissatisfaction can lead to satisfaction. The people of California are very dissatisfied with the rulers up in Sacramento. If we can take it back to the home front and say that some of the problems are Simone Salinas and John Laird and Rebecca Cohn. When we look at some of these legislators in the area where you live, Dr. Stan, These are the people who want to raise your taxes. These are the people who are fiddling while Rome burns. These are the people who are pushing intolerant laws to punish people of faith. It is time for people of faith who know how to save money, balance the budget, and stand up for what's right for families to get involved.
Now, my understanding is that the head of the Democratic Party had actually hired a number of full-time advisors. One of them was, of all people, a Republican. In fact, he was the Republican who 2 years ago betrayed his Republican constituents and voted, to increase taxes. And without his vote, why the Democrats never could have increased the taxes hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. And so as a payoff, he was going to get a full-time job, I think $140,000 the year as a consultant to the man who's known as the Pizza Man, the head of the Democratic Coalition up there, because he delivers. And then somebody pointed out that this Republican had another full-time job working for the state university. Had you heard that story?
Yes, that was the first man you were talking about was Mike Briggs, a Republican from Fresno, who was on the dole for a couple months for Herb Wesson, the Pizza Man, the Assembly Speaker. And then Sally Havis, who was given incredible full-time pay for what was technically a part-time job, and both have been dumped from those positions because, and this is very interesting, though I never thought I'd credit them, the mainstream media is finally investigating some of these things at the state capitol. I mean, I've seen reports in major newspapers investigating the waste in the workers' compensation system and the waste in some other areas, and now I actually would credit newspaper reporters for exposing Herb Wesson's, the speaker's patronage to the victor go the spoils. He was wanting to raise taxes at the same time giving some cushy deals to people who had scratched his back for him. So I see dissatisfaction as a good thing. We just need to take our dissatisfaction and go with it here in the state of California. It's very important. And for those listening outside of state, just pray for California that in the pain, we will rise up. We'll do some righteous things like sign the petition for to recall Gray Davis. We will call him, and we will focus on this man to veto these bad bills that apparently are going to come toward his desk.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so much, Randy.
Thank you,
God bless you, and just hang right in there, and let's hope that the Pizza Man in the future won't be able to deliver.
Maybe he'll find out that the pizzas he's been eating are way too fattening, and he's going to have some heartburn of another kind.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Brad Dacus. Brad from the Pacific Justice Institute is on the front lines of this battle, defending certainly the rights of Christians and of parents all across the state. As a pro bono lawyer, the Pacific Justice Institute has a stable of lawyers who are willing to participate and help Brad, keep the school districts and keep governmental agencies in line. Brad, what's going on today?
Well, I've got some bad news and some good news. I'll start with the bad news. That is SB 950. We watch legislation occasionally when it comes up that we think is very seriously threatening on the rights of parents and of religious freedom. And this was one of those. Basically what it would do, under the name of fighting truancy, is it would allow not school districts or school officials to come in and try to resolve truancy. Instead, what it would do is allow social workers, CPS, to come in and take children from parents and families, possibly even from homeschoolers, without parents having any opportunity to defend themselves before the kids are taken. And this would be a real serious violation of the rights of parents. You could have a family with a child with several unexcused absences because of a death in the family or because of a trip that the family took, come back, and their children are taken. And we saw this as a serious threat to the rights of parents. We put out a press release on this and made it very clear. We drew the line in the sand, made it very clear that if this became law, we would not hesitate to represent any parents or homeschoolers where this is used against them. And so we went ahead and challenged this matter in that regard. The good news is that it was declared to, it just came out that they were going to withdraw it, and we're very glad about to hear that.
Okay, fine. So is that the good news or the bad news?
That's the good news, that they're going to withdraw it. They're going to probably try to bring it back again next year from what I hear on the grapevine. But, you know, parents need to realize they need to be involved. You know, when Randy, for example, mentions a bill, they need to call their legislators, because the bottom line is if we don't defeat this stuff, then we at the Pacific Justice Institute are going to have to end up fighting it in courts. And I really don't like any more lawsuits than we have to handle at a time. So I really appreciate what everyone's doing to get involved.
Okay, fine. Anything else?
That's it for now.
Okay, God bless you. And are you going to be in the East this weekend?
That's right.
All right, I'll see you there. God bless.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That's Brad Dacus, and we're going to a meeting together later this week. And so I won't be with you on Thursday and Friday, but I will be with you I guess we won't be with you tomorrow evening. That's, of course, programmed for Pastor Doug and Steve. Anyway, we'll be with you the first week. So, anyway, once in a while we have to get away, and it'll be good to see Brad personally. He's a very courageous young man. He's on the front lines of this battle. Well, our next guest is Bob Ford, and he has a car dealership up in the Squim area. And Bob is on the front lines of the battle for property rights up there. And in Washington, the state of Washington, and of course Squim is up at the top of the Olympic Peninsula overlooking the Straits of Juan de Fuca. It's a wonderful area. It's known as the banana belt of the Olympic Peninsula because it's quite dry, doesn't have all the terrible rain that the other areas up there do. And it's a retirement area. A lot of people have gone there from other parts of Washington and other parts of the country. Delightful place to live. But, of course, freedom is under attack every place. The wicked people have gotten themselves entrenched in government, and of course using one guise or another to take away property rights. Oh, the endangered salmon, or the endangered snail, or the endangered frog, or the endangered spotted owl, or the striped owl, or the purple owl, doesn't matter. They're not interested in the spotted owl, or the striped owl, and the purple owl. They're interested in control, and of course it's the whole environmental movement, like a watermelon. Green on the outside, red on the inside. Isn't it wonderful to know that Earth Day is Lenin's birthday? That's today. Congratulations. Happy birthday, Lenin. It's being celebrated in schools all across America. And the teachers will never tell the students. Most of the teachers don't know, of course, that, of course, Earth Day is Lenin's birthday. Good to have you with us, Bob.
Good evening, Doctor, and thanks for having me on.
And tell us what's going on up there in the Squim area, and of course I hope that you and the little band of stalwart people who are concerned about individual freedom and property rights are holding your own against the massive forces aligned against you.
Well said, and we're a stout-heart little band, and I enjoyed your previous guest, who was talking about Gray Davis and so forth, and it reminded me when you were talking about the North Olympic Peninsula that we've started a state initiative with some good members of our little band that is going to force the state government by initiative process to teach the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the state constitution, which, by the way, the state of Washington Constitution is a very good constitution, to force them to teach that to the children in the schools.
Now, didn't somebody else try that? Are you working with another group? I remember there was another gentleman who was working on that.
Monty Benham.
Right, that's right. We've had Monty.
Yeah, no, we're in lockstep with Monty. He's a wonderful man. I've known Monty for a number of years, and he's passionate about this. And I just thought I'd fly that by you in light of the effort that's going on in the state of California for the recall of Mr. Davis.
I think that's great. In fact, of course, we've already had Monty on our first hour, which of course gets the eastern half of Washington. And of course, maybe we could get you or Monty on our program that goes out in Seattle.
We'd love to do a
Saturday program there. And of course, we getting gradually to build up that audience. But yeah, you need all the radio coverage you can get. And what sort of response are you getting from the media up there?
Well, it's early yet to tell. Monty just got those mailed out the other day, and I don't know what the media, frankly, has done, but the people that I've run it by in our little town, you know, our town is only about 5,000 people inside the city limits and about another 15 or so thousand in the surrounding area. So we've got about 20,000, 21,000 people in the area, and the one that the few that I've spoken to so far are very much in favor of it. They're appalled that it's not being done. We pay handsomely for education for these children in public schools.
But you have to understand the purpose of education is not to educate, it's to indoctrinate. And, of course, the enemies of freedom hate the Constitution,
right,
and they hate the Declaration of Independence, and they hate the Bill of Rights, because, of course, they realize that that is the foundation of our freedom. And, of course, in the Declaration of Independence, it has those terrible words, under God, there, that our freedom comes from God. There is a creator, and we're endowed by that creator with certain inalienable rights, and that our rights come from God, not from government. That, of course, is what separates America from every other nation. They don't want that information out.
That's very true, and we've even had, unofficially, we've overheard one of our three county commissioners here admit publicly, actually, that, well, of course, the Constitution is an outdated document. It doesn't really apply in modern politics.
I wish you could get that, recorded or on television so that you could use that, because most Americans still hold to this idea. Maybe they don't understand the Constitution, but they know that it is the foundation of our freedom. And what you need to do is get organized some institutes of the Constitution up there using the material that comes out of the institute and really educate the people in that area about the Constitution. It's a great opportunity, and it's not that expensive, and they're doing a great job all across America with us. We have several of them meeting over there in the Spokane area. We just need to get them all across the state.
We've done, Doctor, it's fairly inexpensive. It costs about $1 a piece, but we buy the Declaration and the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, in a wonderfully bound little publication from the Cato Institute.
Right.
And we buy those by $50 or $100 worth at a time. And it's astonishing how many people we give them away. And they love to have those. And it's amazing to me how many people don't have one. And we've even handed them out to the county commissioners here in this county, taken them and asked them, do you have a copy? And they say no. So we give them a copy. Now, whether they read it or not, of course, that's another issue altogether. We're very fond here. The state Supreme Court has a Justice Sanders on the court, and I had him sign my state constitution one time when I met him. And the state constitution is a marvelous document. And one of its tenets, the very first, Article 1, Section 1, repeats or mirrors what the U.S. Constitution says, that all political power is inherent in the people, and government's derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. And I'm fond, myself, of going in front of governing bodies and quoting that to them and holding up that copy of the state constitution, because we know that the U.S. Constitution, if the powers aren't delineated to them, it goes to the state. And so we're very fond of reminding our leadership that you govern by consent. And what we're fond of saying, too, Doctor, is by this action that you're taking, whatever their action is at the time, which one of my constitutional rights are you protecting by doing whatever it is they're planning on doing? That seems to stymie them. They're at a loss for words very often.
Well, I still think that what we need to do is reach a lot of people. I know you know the Constitution. Your grandest stalwart knows it. But you need to get the rest of the people to really understand what an exciting document it is.
Oh,
for our listeners out there, if you're interested in learning more about the Institute of the Constitution, the number is 410-760-6759. That's 410-760-6759, and they will help you to set up a constitution training program right in your area. It doesn't take much time, it doesn't take much knowledge on your part, but after you've gone through this, you'll become an expert, and then you can begin to let others. It's all on videos done by a constitutional lawyer, professor of constitutional law there back in the South, and of course the 12 sessions, half hour each, and when you get through, you'll know the Constitution. It's exciting. providing to know it's available, and our job is just to get as many communities as we can to get people to sponsor this, because once people understand the Constitution, they'll understand that there's an organized, orchestrated, concerted effort to take away the freedom of the people of this country.
And what you said earlier will become apparently clear to them. It's green on the outside and red on the inside.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I recently purchased a little Get Us Out of the UN sign from my friends at the Birch Society and put it out on my my little street out here. And I put it out at 6 o'clock in the evening. And lo and behold, it was gone at about 8 o'clock.
So much for tolerance, and you know, and we want everybody to have their opinion, and we believe in democracy and free expression. I know, remember when I ran for Congress, they would take my signs down faster than I could put them up.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? We want freedom of speech. Sadly, some of us can't get heard. We can talk, but we can't get heard. And I want to thank you, Doctor, personally again for the energy that you put forth and the marvelous work that you're able to do across this land. It's truly a blessing to have you involved in this kind of effort.
Well, we're just blessed to have a voice and to have access to the shortwave and the Internet, and we're hoping to just keep expanding that and more stations, because, you know, when people hear it on the radio, you know, they tend to believe whether it's true or not. And, of course, if they believe us, it's true. When they believe the other guys, it isn't. But, you know, the important thing is that at least they hear the truth. And, you know, sometimes people hear it, and you know, there'll be something that is said that'll catch their attention. And that's what happened to me. I've told this story many times. But I turned on the wrong television station some 41 years ago, and my life has never been the same again. And I know other people have turned on the wrong radio station inadvertently, and of course they've heard the truth, and it's transformed their lives. So this is what we have to keep doing, to reach as many people as we can.
Yes, indeed, it does work. I met the Lord through a Christian radio station in Las Vegas, Nevada, KILA, and that was 1973, and changed my life forever. I would like to ask you a question, though. We're
going to have to just take a quick break
okay.
here, and we'll be right back, and then we'll take any question you want. And
great.
Invite your calls from out across America.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this evening is Bob Ford, and he's from Sequim, and he's one of the leaders of the movement up there to protect private property rights. Bob, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
My question is, Doctor, tomorrow morning we're going before our seven-member city council who are about to put fluoride in the city drinking water. And I am not particularly opposed to the substance, although I've heard a lot of negative comment as to the adverse effects of this particular product. My issue is, if you want fluoride and you want your children to have fluoride, then go and get fluoride from your dentist or your pharmacist or wherever it is you get fluoride. But don't put it in the drinking water, because you eliminate the freedom of choice of those. And this is a retirement area. A lot of people are opposed to another substance in the drinking water.
Well, I think that it's important to realize that, of course, when you chlorinate the water, you're treating the water. When you fluoridate the water, you're treating the people who drink the water. Of course, the significant thing, as we know, and as an orthopedic surgeon, I can tell you there are many, many articles in the Journal of the American Medical Association and other certainly competent medical journals, peer-reviewed medical journals that show that for postmenopausal women who actually drink fluoridated water, the incidence of hip fractures, it goes up about at least 50%. It may even double. The reason that they're so anxious to put it in is because it decreases the fertility rates, and that's the work of Frenny. Of course, it actually, if you study what it does, it has an effect on the mind, and certainly in places in China where they've studied it, it shows it drops the IQ probably as much as 10%, you know, and sometimes even up to 15%. It acts on the endocrine system. It, of course, it it causes overgrowth of bone in the back and sometimes will give you, spinal stenosis. There is no possible reason to put this in because as far as the children's cavities are concerned, it increases the incidence of cavities in children. We have less cavities today because the children have better overall dental care.
Right.
But if you compare the cavities in children in fluoridated areas with adjacent areas where the water is not fluoridated, in the areas where the water is fluoridated, you have increased cavities. Now, how could this happen? Well, I will tell you, I talked to a doctor. He's a professor of a dental public health in Ottawa. And, of course, he for many years was a proponent of fluoride until he began to do his homework on this. But when he spoke out, against fluoride and said I was wrong, and here's the scientific facts against it, suddenly he was attacked. They threatened to take his job, to destroy him. He was demonized, and he wouldn't even come on to a radio program with me. What you need to do, Bob, is get onto the website first thing in the morning or tonight and go to some of the websites on fluoridation and get Jeff Green's material and have all this at hand tomorrow when you appear before them. The point you want to make out, do you want to poison the minds and brains of your children? Do you want to do harm to the children? Because all of this, of course, the doctors don't know. They don't read and study this. My dentist is a wonderful young man. But, of course, he, like most dentists, was going along with the system. This is what he was taught in medical school. This is in dental school. This is what he heard at dental meetings. This is what he read in the dental literature. And one day, of course, I went into the office, and the dental hygienist to work for him had this green substance. He wanted me to put it in my mouth, and it was a fluoride gel. You're supposed to hold it there for 3 minutes, and the only reason it does any good, it's so toxic, it kills everything in your mouth. And that's why they put fluoride in your toothpaste, because it is such a poison, it kills everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to eat the tube of toothpaste, it would kill you, too.
Yes.
But anyway, of course, I told her how dangerous this was, and she went to the doctor and told him, and he began to read and study and went to a meeting about this, and now he is one of the great opponents of fluoride, and he suddenly realized that not only were they poisoning people with the fluoride, but they're poisoning with the dental fillings, and it changed his whole outlook. And if we can once get people to understand that they're being lied to on this, they can understand they're being lied to on lots of things. So, there are going to be people from the Department of Public Health there. There are going to be people, doctors and dentists, and they're all wrong. And there's so much material on the other side, and you can pull it down off the Internet, get copies of it, pass them out and say, look, check these studies out. And, of course, we have a lady down here over in the San Jose area who will help you if you want to and get you many of the original scientific studies. But the big reason they're pushing this, number one, it has such a profound impact on the brain of people. And number two, it decreases fertility. And it's all about really decreasing the population. That's why
population
they're against
control.
But you see, they're not telling people if it poisons your gonads and your reproduction, it poisons your thyroid, it poisons your body. Fluoride is one of the most toxic poisons we have. And of course, it would be extremely expensive to put this into toxic dump waste, so they decided to dump it in our drinking water. And the fact that the CDC and the EPA have gone along with it shows how corrupt they are. The EPA scientists came out and said this is a poison. We are going to speak out against it because in Germany they held scientists responsible and convicted them in Nuremberg for failing to speak out when they were told to do things that they knew were wrong. And that's why we're speaking out against it. And they tried to fire the EPA scientists. They weren't able to. So what they've done is effectively, because of their degree of control over the media, concealed the truth from the American people and from the doctors and dentists. And the doctors and dentists are not bad people. They're just educated far beyond their knowledge.
Boy, doctor, you echoed a lot of... we have, in fact, researched that, and there's a publication called Keepers of the Well that did, in fact, print the man in Ottawa that you're talking about earlier, the head of the Canadian health or whatever it was, he did in fact recant that, and they did print that.
He didn't recant it. He was just told. He just said, "I can't come out and publicly state what I want
right.
to. It isn't worth losing my job and losing my home and losing my family to tell the truth."
Yeah, Yeah.
And then when they can intimidate people like to that degree here in either Canada or the United States, you realize the power of evil that there is behind what's going on.
Well, to amplify what you're saying, and we can't document this, but a longtime dentist here in the area that moved in this area in the 60s, this issue came up in the Seattle area in the 60s, and they did, in fact, instill fluoridate the water there. He told us last night at our preparatory meeting last night for tomorrow morning, he said there were a couple, a man and a woman, in the Seattle area that were found gagged, tied, and shot in the back of the head because of their anti-fluoride stance in the 60s. Now, they couldn't really tie that together, and there wasn't a great deal of any way to document that, but he is convinced that, there's a trail to be had there. Somebody profits a great deal by the sale of this substance to the cities, and as you indicated, to get rid of this byproduct of the fertilizer industry, it would cost them billions of dollars if they weren't selling it to these cities as a anti-cavity substance to put in the water supply and the other benefits that you enunciated, the fertility thing and so forth. My daughter is going. I have a 32-year-old daughter here, and she's pregnant with her third child, and she's appalled that they are going to do this to the water supply in this small town.
Well, you better get a big Berkey where you can actually filter the water out.
I was reading, I downloaded your Berkey filtration system, and it does, in fact, it's one of the few that actually will take fluoride out of the water.
Right, and they have to get special post filters, but if you're in an area, especially if your daughter is pregnant, you want to have that for her because you don't want her passing that to the placenta to that child because it'll damage their brain, and they know that. They don't want smart people. They want complacent people. And I would simply talk to the people on that board of supervisors or county commissioners and say, do you want to be responsible for poisoning children? At least look into this information and find out if it's true. Because this will be on your hands not only today but throughout eternity.
You know what they will respond to, though? We found this out, too, Doctor, because the salmon is a big issue up here. We found out that the water, the 200,000-300,000 gallons of water a day that they dump into the bay from the processing plant here in the regular sewage, the amount of fluoride that will go into the water will, in fact, damage the salmon. And they respond more to the damage that might occur to the salmon than they will to the damage that might occur to a human being.
We live in a world gone mad. Only a few of us were sane. Everybody thinks we're crazy.
Yes. You know, God help us. It's just an amazing thing. But we've got a good articulate group. We have a doctor, a woman who's an allergist that was published. She taught at Howard University. She's 84 years old now, but a very bright, brilliant woman, actually, and she's kind of leading the charge on this thing.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm so glad you've got some professional people, a doctor and a dentist. And, you know, if you can get to the people and understand they're going to damage your children, is that what you really want? And
well,
they're
going to
damage
people.
The older people. And, right. You know, I don't have time to get the reports to you now, but,
We've got them, Doctor.
Oh, you got them. But
yeah,
ones
we've got
about
hundreds of them.
About the hip fractures? Because,
yes, got them. We've got them, and we've been working on this for about a month. I wanted to bring it up and hear your take on it because you have a lot of listeners up here. I know Robert Plasky listens, and he has a whole. He's been so faithful on this thing. He's been to all the meetings. The Port Angeles contingent of doctors and dentists put on the most appalling dog and pony show you've ever seen, including the hospital administrator who said. That they have 100 emergency cases of dental problems in the emergency room every month to cost the county over $400,000 a year to treat these emergency dental cases in children's mouths.
Well, fine, but how would you like to have twice that money as a result of the fluoridation? I mean, you know, there is no incidents where you can prove, and they've done studies over periods of 20 or 30 years on dental cavities in children, and pointing out that fluoridation does not in any way decrease the cavities. In fact, it actually increases the cavities.
You're right, and everything that we've found points to what you're saying, the absolute accuracy of that. It's another, we were talking earlier about the Constitution.
One of the points is, where in your oath of office and where in the Constitution does it say that a government ought to get involved in poisoning the water of a community?
And poisoning the children. I mean, talk about children and older people. That always tugs on the heartstrings, but mostly the children. And they can't stand it when you talk about poisoning
the
children.
Well, that's the one. They have brought the children. They've used that very argument. It's the children's. We have to do it for the children's teeth, don't you see?
Have they shown you those pictures, horrible pictures? You could take those pictures, and you could say, these are children that came from areas where fluoridated. Get pictures look exactly the same, and said, this is what the teeth look like in areas where children are fluoridated. Of course, the reason the teeth look so terrible is because it has to do with this baby bottle syndrome, you know, where they're just getting sugar water, and of course the sugar water is leading to all the cavities. That's what it's about. And they with that picture, they simply create a mental image. And so much of what we believe is based upon these mental images that have nothing to do with truth.
It's truly amazing how many of the medical and the dental and the hospital administrators came together in what was supposed to be called a public hearing in Port Angeles, which is about 17 miles west of us. And they put on this enormous dog and pony show with very little notice. And the city council in that city that night voted 6-1 to fluoridate their water.
Well,
and it was just appalling, and we did everything we could to stop it, but of course we could not.
Well, because right now, of course, you still have time to tell people, you know, that they're poisoning your kids, and if not, tell the people that right now, to protect themselves, they better get a Big Berkey, and if I could sell enough Big Berkeys up there, with the fluoride filters on them, why we'll get on your radio station up there, they'll have us.
Well, the Berkey, from what I've read of the download of the Berkey, The reverse osmosis units won't do that.
No,
I
know.
The charcoal filters won't do it. The Berkey seems to be the only one that will take out the fluoride.
I know. Well, it's great. Now, they have to be replaced, I think, every 2 years or something like that. But it is a very effective unit, and we're just pretty happy to have them available. Let's go to Debbie calling from, of all places. What happened to Debbie? I think we lost Debbie from Port Angeles. She was calling in anyway. Well, maybe she'll call back again.
Gosh, I hope so.
Okay, fine. Well, I think this is the Debbie who's one of our supporters there. So somebody must have pressed the wrong button. There she is. Hey, is this Debbie?
Hi, Dr. Stanley.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. Hi, Bob. This is Debbie from Port Angeles.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you?
Good, hon.
I understand they're poisoning your water there.
I'm telling you, I can't stand it anymore. I had to call in.
Okay, go ahead.
I am so livid over this whole thing.
But
I really am.
Look at it as an opportunity. First of all, protect yourself and your family. And then I would simply find out whether they have bottled water for the Board of Supervisors. But use this. You know, these people don't care about you. The doctors really have never done their homework. The doctors and dentists, how can you trust anybody who knows so little about the scientific facts? And, of course, you get the reprints from Bob. Point out that it's being used because it poisoned fertility. Tell him what it does to the brains of children. And certainly point out the total disregard for the elderly, because you have a number of them up there. You really want to... I've forgotten whether it's a 50% or 100% increase in hip fractures and postmenopausal women. Is this what the Board of Supervisors really wants? The scientific studies are there, and of course they haven't done their homework, and if they can't be trusted on this, they can't be trusted on anything. I'd even think about getting a recall over it. What a great opportunity to utilize this, not as a tragedy, but as an opportunity.
Absolutely. And it doesn't help, though, when you have a city 60 miles west of us called Forks that has fluoridated water that says, our instances of cavities have gone down. Our position at all.
Yeah, but you see, how can they prove that? Sure, the incidence didn't go down because of the fluoride. The incidence of cavities has gone down dramatically over the last 25 years because of dental hygiene.
Right.
And you ask them for the documentation of that.
That would be great. And see, here's the question I want to pose.
We did. They can't document it. Dr. Kalin, you know Eloise Kalin?
Yeah, I know Eloise, yeah.
Eloise Kalin proved to them that the city of Forks, there was no significant decline. As a matter of fact, their incident of cavity increased per capita.
Ah.
And
okay,
we brought that to that meeting in Port Angeles. I don't know if you were there.
No. I have a hard time getting to meetings because I have two small children, so
yeah.
It's kind of hard sometimes to get away. But it doesn't mean I'm not paying attention. But
well, I hope you know you're listening regularly on the internet.
Oh, trust me.
And Debbie, anyway. We're going to be 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. If you can all get to the SQIM council meeting, we're
I won't get there, but I'll tell you what. I'll put it on prayer chain. That's for darn sure.
That'd be great.
But here's a question I want to pose. What is actually happening tomorrow? Are they putting it to a vote? Or
no.
here's my question. Why is the people of... This is happening for SQIM?
Yes.
This, for the city of SQIM, not Port Angeles.
Right.
Okay. Why is it that they could make such a blanket decision that affects everybody, and we, the voters of this county, cannot decide for ourselves whether or not we want it? How can we get that on a ballot?
Well, you can demand. This is what we've done in our area. We've demanded a ballot initiative, and we defeated it in both Watsonville and in Santa Cruz. And what the most amazing part of this is, we had, you know, many of the left-wing environmentalists working with the right-wing Christians, and, you know, we joined forces, and, you know, they did most of the work, I'll have to admit, but, you know, certainly with the voice we had and with their efforts, this was defeated. And so, you know, what a wonderful opportunity to get to talk to a lot of the environmentalists who are wonderful people, most of them are. They're
right.
Just misinformed. And, you know, once you can get to them and let them understand that you're not an ogre and you don't hate them at all,
Right. Then
you can begin to talk to them on other things. This is a great opportunity, Debbie.
I have found that, Doctor, to be exactly true. I am probably the only... conservative on this group of people of about 35 people that we put together, and you're right, they're well-meaning and concerned people, and they're very bright, and they want to. This is one issue that has brought us together in a great opportunity. An aside, the city of Port Angeles is governed under what's called the RCW, the Revised Washington Statute. Statutes of Washington, or Code of
Washington,
really. And the city of SQIM is got the initiative referendum process. The city of Port Angeles does not. Once the city council gavels that down, it's done, and there's no way to redo it unless you recall the city council.
Well, but that's what you have to do. Recall them, you know. In your area, can you get an initiative? Is that
well? What we can do in Port Angeles, if we can get the mustard up to do it, is go to court and get an injunction against them.
Okay, fine, and then use this as a vehicle, you know, for an initiative or for a recall.
Right,
and
we can do an initiative in the city of. In the city of SQIM, but a recall is available all the time.
Okay, fine. But you can actually get rid of some of these politicians over this when you can convince the people, and that's what you have to do is reach the people, you know, with flyers and with the faxes, and, you know, if we could get on the radio up there, we could have an impact and let them begin to understand what's really going on.
Well, we've had a marvelous turnout and a letter-writing campaign on both our local newspapers. We have one paper in each community, and that has been pretty effective to keep the issue on the top, you know, floating it on the top burner. So we've been able to do that. We're hoping to prevail, God willing, in the city of SQIM, and then we will turn our wrath and go after the city of Port Angeles.
Well, I'm so glad you're up there, Bob, and Debbie, I'm glad you're up there, too, and of course, pray for them tomorrow. They're going to need all the prayer they can get.
It seems as though we just need, I feel like this is getting railroaded through so fast, and
we
don't have enough time
to educate
the people, or the officials, or even the doctors. The local paper in Port Angeles, and I'm sure you've seen it, Bob, they had something like almost half a page or three quarters of a page of every doctor and every dentist in this community supported the fluoridation.
But the thing is that they're afraid not to, and you need to only find a handful of dentists and say, look, read the scientific studies.
Yeah.
And you read this, there's an article in the American Journal of Dentistry within the last couple of years saying ingestion of fluoride doesn't do a bit of good. So if that indeed is true, I mean, the point they made was it worked topically. The fluoride works topically, not
only
by
for
ingestion.
Children, not for adults.
Right. Well, but I don't even believe it works topically for children.
Right. But you
Well, they say a child under the age of 3 shouldn't have anything to do with any fluoride anywhere near them under the age of 3.
So what are they going to drink then?
Right. Well,
precisely. And the 1% or 1 part per million is what they're saying is a safe dose. But if you read the back of any commercially produced toothpaste, you will immediately find that a size of a pea ingested by a child, the instruction on the back of the cardboard box of the toothpaste is go immediately to a poison control center in your area.
Well, a wonderful opportunity to get people to think, and when they understand that these evil and wicked people at the CDC and the National Institute of Health and our federal government want to harm their children, at that point, maybe people will begin to wake up. That's all we can hope for and pray for.
And hopefully we can just get that opportunity to educate everyone to do that before it just gets steamrolled in there.
It takes energy, money, and effort.
Right.
And prayer.
All three of them. Okay. Anything else, Debbie?
No, that was it. I just, like I said, I couldn't keep quiet. Had to say something. So.
Doctor, one more thing for Debbie.
Yeah.
Debbie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I got 13 Sonnen goats.
Oh, you do? Hey, I just had babies born last week. I'm milking now. Today.
Yeah.
You have goats there too, Debbie?
Yeah,
in fact, I think I got Bob into goats. I gave him his first goat.
And apparently, you know, they make wonderful milk and wonderful cheese.
They do. Oh, I do cheese and everything. That's the only milk we drink.
Really?
Wonderful animal.
Yeah.
They're just a wonderful animal.
Yeah, they are great. Well, I'll have to come by and see your goats.
Yeah,
they compare
great.
To my La Mancha's, okay?
Well, now, how much land do you need to grow goats on?
Oh, hardly any. I have 2.5 acres. That's all I have, and most of it's wooded. I think I live on maybe 1 acre of land.
I see. And the goats just sort of graze on the grass?
Yeah, they pretty much, they browse. They don't graze. They browse. And so if you've got blackberry vines or anything that you want to, like, get rid of, like salmon berries, they're great.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks so very much.
Okay.
Bye,
thank you, Dr. Stan.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. See you later.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Fine. So
doctor, it's like a party on your program.
Right. Well, you know, of course, you know, a lot of people I've never met, but I feel that I know them. You know, I know Bob Plasky up there and Debbie and you, and we've got people over there in Port Townsend, you know.
Right.
And so you begin to know the people in those areas, and, you know, at least they're loyally listening. I just wish we could get more and more people listening, because when they listen, they begin to learn, and when they learn, then they can begin to teach others. And that's really what it's all about. That's how we're spreading the information
and, you know,
out
doctor,
across America.
Just for what it's worth, you know, it's great fun. You know, this thing, we get involved in the community. I don't know, maybe it's my personality, or maybe I'm just too stupid to know any better, but I really thoroughly enjoy it, and it really is great fun to try to defend those things we believe in, but yet know that we're working with other human beings that very many of them know and love the country and God, and yet they take different sides of the issue. And that's okay. That's what makes our country great, that we have the freedom to do that. Win, lose, or draw, it's a privilege to participate in our own government. And that's what makes it fun for me.
Well, it really is. And, of course, the problem is that because of the control that exists in the medical profession. I mean, every doctor is told that water fluoridation is good for children's teeth, and, you know, and they're told that nothing on the other side, and they never, of course, can come up with any scientific facts. They simply demonize and, of course, you know, ridicule people who disagree with them. But, you know, if you can get to the people and say, look, here are the scientific studies. You look at them, you know, and why don't you call the EPA doctors and or EPA scientists back at the Environmental Protection Agency, and if you can get the number for them, and, of course, try to get them in touch with that. You try to get them in touch with the experts. Jeff Green in Southern California does a magnificent job of getting the information together, and, of course, it's all available. If you can just get them to sit down and say, look, you have an obligation to be right, because if you're wrong and you're harming your patients and you're harming the people of this community, how are you going to feel 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years from now? Because men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose, and you need to know whether you're right or wrong. Is it possible that they're not telling you the truth?
Right.
The medical and dental associations are lying to you? And if you could just get them to think just for a minute, who knows what it might be? You might change their life, and you might even bring them to the relationship with the Lord.
One of the things that was brought to our attention is that the state government out of Olympia has a goal of 80% of the cities in the state of Washington to be fluoridated by 2005. Now, that's their agenda. We discovered that here just recently. We didn't know that. But underneath this is the power of the state of Washington ramrodding and controlling and encouraging. One of the things that Debbie's town of West Port Angeles here, the reason they did it, because they found out that the manufacturers, we think, but under the guise of the Washington Dental Association, put up $250,000 grant or free money, supposedly, to install the equipment necessary to provide the city with the fluoridated water. And, of course, I'm sure that they have to buy the product from XYZ company, who just happens to be very handy to sell the product to the city. So what initiated this, the medical and dental community used the word over and over, crisis epidemic. Children's mouths, crisis epidemic. We must act immediately. And if you notice, Doctor, and I'm sure you are aware, every time the left wants to advance their agenda, it's always a crisis. It's always for the children. It's always it has to be done immediately, because if we don't, oh my God, something terrible will happen.
Well, what you have to do is learn how to just take them, twist it around. They're poisoning your children, and they know what they're doing. Shame on them. And you better find out the fact, because once they've damaged your child's mind, there'll not be another chance. Let's get to the facts. We're out of time, Bob. It's loads of fun. Give us a call when something comes up. Let us know
will,
what happens,
Doctor.
There with the dental situation. If we can help, let us know.
Until, what a privilege. Thank you again.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Okay, and this is Dr. Stan. And, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our listeners and our leaders. And, of course, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, I guess till next Monday, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.
Fun programs, you know.
Yeah, they were. Did I turn off the light in there?
No, Bobby will be out here. Hey, it's Robin from Spokane, Washington, you know.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, Wegener is always.